As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through Friday,
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Milwaukee, this is for you.
I'm not supposed to do that.
Milwaukee, this is for you.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
You will not get a team from me. Now, that's saying something.
A straight nine.
Hello, and welcome to The Athletic NBA Show. It's Monday. It's post-All-Star. It's Basketball Buds. I'm Dave DeFore, filling in for Zach Harper, who had to miss the show tonight. Guys, what the hell? I just got to start here. It took like 17 hours to get through this day. Trey, this felt like an AAU afternoon, didn't it?
I don't even know if it was AAU. It reminded me of like a varsity playoff game or something crazy, like where, you know, the teams, the coaches is like ripping a new one for the team and they're taking forever to come out. And then you got people shooting on the middle of the court during halftime. That's what those activities in the middle was for, man. Like, I hope that we don't ever see this ever again and that this is a one-trick pony right here.
Well, let's kind of run down the timeline a little bit. The day did not start well for the NBA. Both Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they got haircuts. And through contact tracing and a positive test, they were told they had to miss the All-Star game. Obviously, it's in Atlanta and they've kind of got a mini bubble. So it's not like you can bring in any new bodies. Jay, what's the worst haircut you've ever gotten?
I've had some pretty bad ones in my life.
I believe it.
I bet you have, Jay.
When I was like 6 or 7, I decided to go totally bald. And it looked so bad that I started just...
So you were looking like Remy from Higher Learning?
Yeah, I think I wanted to look like Andre Agassi. Like, I liked Andre Agassi and I wanted to look like him, like go fully bald. But it looked
shorts?
So bad. I looked like Charlie Villanueva. And
Trey, you killed me. He tried to go for Andre Agassi and looked like Remy.
I wept so hard that my dad had to shave his head too because he felt so bad for me.
God. What's oh my God.
Yeah, so that was probably my worst haircut, but I've gone through phases of pretty bad ones.
But you didn't miss an All-Star game.
I never missed an All-Star game due to a haircut. But I think I mean, we can crack jokes in this case, but it also speaks to all the logistical problems of actually having an All-Star game in a global pandemic. And these guys, they just wanted to get haircuts to look good on national TV because they knew they'd be on national TV and they exposed themselves to a deadly virus. And so, yeah, you can crack jokes, but at the same time, it's like, it just speaks to kind of the dangers of bringing everyone from both conferences, from a whole bunch of teams together in one place to play a meaningless exhibition game.
Was the barber not wearing a mask?
I don't know if we know those details yet.
Yeah, I don't think the details really rolled out like that. It's just that he was exposed to it.
And it's a smart move.
Yeah, even if he was or wasn't.
Eat here, like in Connecticut, you can go sit down, get food from a waiter with a mask,
right,
and be on your way.
Yeah, I mean, that's anywhere right now at this point. But the thing is, you're in a bubble, an all-star bubble at that, for 48 hours. No visitors, no one's coming to see you, and you're going to play a basketball game with fans socially distanced. Why are you getting a haircut, bro?
You got to look good for TV.
No, man. That's normal. Nah, that's normal.
I understand. Yeah. I'm not going
to. Did they not have a barber? In the mini bubble?
It's not even about that. This guy has been cutting their hair for a long time. Joel even joked around and said, look at these fresh lines, and it had to be me. So he's the team barber. He's been cutting these guys for a long time. And particular at this particular time, whoever he was came in contact with, he ended up getting it and, you know, having contact tracing with that situation.
Trey. He bragged about his haircut?
No, Joel was posted a picture and said, out of all these hairlines, mine had to be like affected pretty much. Like, out of like, you see all like,
because it was so sick, this guy always Trey. Cut.
Huh?
Because it was so sick.
Oh, because it was so sick. Yeah. But no, apparently this guy's a team barber.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Probably, you know, didn't even know that he was even exposed. Probably think it was business as usual. Cut these guys' hairs, going to send their, you know, and they probably called him at a strange time because NBA players don't care about your normal life. Say like, hey, I need a haircut. I got to go right now. Stop what you're doing. A barber will literally shut down his shop and go to the house and cut these dudes up. And, you know, it just happened to end up on a bad end of the luck. But
how did it get found out is my thing.
Oh, because they have to test a couple of times before they could even travel into Atlanta.
But they both tested negative. I would imagine.
No, the barber tested positive.
Here's the thing. KD has tested negative 86 times. This is the thing.
It's not even about that. The barber tested positive.
Here's the thing. It's the contact tracing. That's the thing. KD has never really tested positive outside of last season. He's been negative 86 times straight. But if you're somebody that's been close to you, even if I passed you a basketball and I had it, you got to sit down.
I'm just trying to figure out what happened today because it was early in the morning. It was the day before.
And then when they were getting ready to travel in, they tested, you know what I'm saying? Before they can even get into the hotel and check in and get that flight. Because that's the thing. Before you even take the flight, you got to test like three times or something like that to make sure. Because they didn't want to affect everybody in the bubble. Then.
I'm confused. Because where did this haircut take place? Philly?
In Philly, yeah.
I see.
Yeah, they didn't even make it. They didn't even get in contact. That's why the game continued. Because if they would have gotten to the hotel, went to practice, and just, you know, cabin fevered everybody, it would have been nuts. So in this particular situation, yeah, it happened before and it sucks.
But Mo, the barber, you're saying tested positive?
It was the barber.
That's the barber who tested positive. That's what the reports are saying. That's what the contact tracing was. That's why those guys.
So when did they get their hair cut?
Jade is having a tough time. I want to know
the actual timeline, like literally detailed minute timeline.
So Jade, honestly,
Jade, are you trying to do the minority report thing here? Like, are you trying to do this?
Last night, none of us got that.
Apparently, they got their hair cut on Thursday.
All right, let me put that screen
They were in. Supposed to. You're supposed to get your flight and go out, right?
Gotcha.
And be in and report to Atlanta by Friday night, Saturday morning.
Yep.
And then from there, you stay in and you're pretty much quarantined until you go to practice, play in a game, and then get out of there, right? So before they even could fly to Atlanta and book that flight, that's what happened and showed up because they have to test the people that they're around too.
Okay.
and he came back, not the players, but the guy came back, the barber came back. And not saying that he wasn't wearing a mask and doing all this other stuff and going through what he did, but whoever he probably cut or wherever he was around, whoever he was around at the time, probably exposed him to that. So protocol for the next 7 days, which I don't think they probably missed one game at the max. They'll be back in the lineup, but it just sucks because, you know, say if that was their first game, they probably would be pissed about it. But, you know, their second or third game in the All-Star game, it was rest for them. They get to chill.
And a lesson was learned.
Think how close everybody was to getting exposed to contact tracing of some sort.
It would have been a nightmare for the NBA.
Yeah.
That was the thing. I don't know if Jade remembers it, but when we did the point of contention and talking about this, and you were on there, Trey, I had mentioned, I said, that was my biggest concern, right, was putting all the stars in and then having to contact trace after the All-Star
game.
But
let's give the NBA credit, man. Yep. Two tests out of all those players, I'm okay with it. They still had a successful event, even though it was a bit cringeworthy on the force of the force-fed HBCU stuff. You know, we got what we wanted.
You go.
All right, man. So me being the resident black guy on the pod, I don't know if I want to start with Michael B. Jordan or do I want to start with just, you know, the Negro spiritual, whatever. It was just down the line. It's like, honestly, this is not for black people. This is for other races to say, like, look, this is what's going
terrible.
On. Because we already
it was
know
awkward.
We already know what's going on. Black people know what's going on. But the fact that it's like, you could have named the All-Stars, said, hey, LeBron, you're the captain. Where do you want this money to go? KD, you're the captain. Where do you want this money to go? And let these people spend time with their families. Instead of, we got a game, we got Common giving us a lecture. Again, I'd rather hear Reggie Miller than Common right now at this point. And then after that, we get D-Wade. That was a surprise. That pissed me off going into the fourth quarter. D-Wade goes to the floor, reads off the prompter, and then we get a song from Anthony Hamilton.
Musical interlude between quarters.
Before
it
the fourth
took
quarter.
17
like,
minutes.
Oh my Lord.
What? Like, listen, we watched, first of all, I want to see the numbers tomorrow on viewers because I started watching TNT at 5 p.m. Eastern. It is right now. It is now, roughly. That was like 6 hours of tuning in.
It was actually what you watched, Trey, was a future cinephobe episode.
There you go. Going right up against American Idol.
Listen, Dave is playing points, so we're gonna touch upon a little bit more of the competitions, but that's where I'm fed up. Listen, I think we get the picture. White people know that. Listen, black people are important in this United States of America. HBCUs,
I don't trust them.
Listen, HBCUs, if you want to go there, please go. Apply. Even for white people, you can get in for free. They have it set up. You know, like if you feel like a minority. Awesome. Donate money. Awesome. Great. But like, I hope that we never have to do this again. It's so force fed, bro. It was so force fed that we even forgot about just everything that was just going on. Like it's
oh, no, that's not true, Trey. It was impossible for me to forget that they were doing stuff with HBCUs. It was just absolutely impossible. And I'm with you. Like, this is like, The game that shouldn't have happened,
Chris Paul.
Right? This is the game that shouldn't have happened. We all know it. And they just tried to make us ignore that with the HBCU stuff. It's some of the worst pandering I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely, Trey. I agree with you.
For $450,000, too.
So awkward.
I mean, it's not $10 million.
Yeah. How much did the event... Here's a question. How much did the event cost?
It's $30 million from a recent report. Ad revenue generated from All-Star Game.
Of course. Of course.
For TNT.
Of course. Just say that we needed the money. I'd rather you tell me that. You know
I
what?
I feel like they did, Jake.
Yeah, I think they did.
Trey, by having the event, listen, I think that was them saying
they
used,
they
the
used
money.
The game as a PPP loan at this point, bro.
Well, let's talk. Look, we all sat and watched this stuff. So let's talk about it a little bit. I want to start Anybody have any hot takes about the skills competition? It seems to me like this is just designed to make us all accept bigs doing stuff with the ball.
No.
Am I right
the
here?
The modern NBA makes us accept bigs doing stuff with the ball. All bigs
this is all
either
propaganda.
Do stuff with the ball or they bigs. Get fired off the court in the playoffs. The Dang. Skills challenge is yeah. the single dumbest competition people could ever possibly come it's up so with ridiculous. To evaluate well, skills awful. In the NBA.
There's been worse in these, but...
That is true.
Dave, sorry. I want to just mention one thing. The time of the event's terrible.
It's awful.
My kids can't watch that.
Why isn't it... Right. It should be in the afternoon. You know, like...
Yes.
It should be matinee. Like, the start time should be, you know, like, maybe 4 Eastern for the game. And now... If you've got all this stuff packed in like they did.
The only pushback I'll push back just because this year
bro,
I wonder
we can't
if
even go to church physically. They could have had this at noon.
I get it, but because of the testing and the tracing and everything like that, I wonder if that might have been why the time was so bad.
At least do the skills dunk maybe at an earlier point in the day. Because that's what I always came for when I was a kid was the dunk contest. But my kids can't stay up till 10 o'clock to watch,
yeah,
you know.
I think this year, the special challenges, right?
Yeah,
like
right.
trying to do it all, trying to do everything in one afternoon. I understand that completely, just, you know, that condensed schedule there. But it just feels to me they could have actually just started sooner. You're not up against anything. There's no football. There's nothing competing with you. Just start it sooner. It didn't need to end at 11 o'clock at night. It's
I don't
just
know,
silly.
Man. Liberty and North Alabama had a conference championship game.
Big game. Big game, Jay.
It's just money.
So, 3-point contest to me was the highlight of the day. I thought that was the best event that they did.
That was awesome.
Steph Curry.
I was rooting for Mike Conley.
I was ready to come on here and hammer Steph Curry for not being the best shooter of all time if he didn't win. If he had lost, it would have been a big deal to me.
If you're entering a 3-point contest and Steph Curry walks in, you just got to throw your hands up in the air. Like, come
he's
on.
Only won
that's
twice, though.
That's not technically true, though, because it wasn't in the bag. Obviously, he's one of the best shooters, you know, statistically, but he's just like Chris Paul in approaching the event. Well, nah, I don't compare that because Chris Paul ain't won no skills joint. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the odds for somebody to steal it, he's capable, but you know, he came in with a chip on his shoulder. He ain't got nothing else to do.
I'm with
the
Mo,
Warriors
though.
Stink. He got to go back to San Francisco and stink it up even more. You know what I mean? Clay hurt, so Clay couldn't push him. I even had somebody tell me that Zach LaVine was going to win it. Like, come on, bro. Quit playing. I like yeah, that Mike Conley came representing all of Salt Lake City.
Well, I mean, that was the one guy I would say would have had a chance just because he's like, I'm finally here. I got to make a splash somehow.
Yeah,
I was so happy for him.
He has some different motivation.
I was so happy for him that he made it, man. It would have been really sad if he didn't after the campaign he went on.
You know what, Jay? You know what, Jay? I wasn't really buying it. I still think DeMar DeRozan should have got that spot.
I agree. I'm with you there. I thought DeMar DeRozan deserved that spot too. But – DeRozan's had a bunch of them, and in this year when there wasn't a huge gap between Conley and DeRozan, I was cool with Conley getting it because there were many years when he was worthy of being an All-Star, and that Memphis Grizzlies team was one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the NBA.
Well, he answered the question. He said 2015-2016 season, and
yeah.
That's fair, and I get it, but that's not anybody's fault, the voters' fault, the coach's fault, or whatever when – the league is stacked. It's just how it is. Everybody not going to win a championship and everybody not going to go to the All-Star game. It is what it is, bro. So I don't like the charity shoe-ins. But good for him. I'm glad he got the experience, especially in year 14. Out of all of, you know, if he never goes back, then he can honestly say, hey, I was an All-Star 1 year. It's kind of like
when nobody was there to
Brandon.
See it.
It was crazy nice. He said nobody was there to see it, right?
He almost beat Steph, too. Steph had to hit
that's
the
right.
walk-off three ball.
He's got that cool trophy that's going to say,
I think
Steph
was just
Curry.
Out here playing Vegas for us real quick. But
Steph was bored, said, let me miss the first rack on purpose.
Yeah,
that's all
he
might
have known
Steph
exactly
like,
how many shots he needed to miss to make it exciting. Like, all right, I need to miss 7. Let me pick which ones I'm going to miss so I can just hit the walk-off.
Yeah, that was all.
He's kind of at that level.
Yo. Did they have fans literally courtside?
2,500. Yes. So it was mostly family. It was family on experience. So, you know, Chris Paul's dad, his brother, his son, Giannis had his, his girl, his son. Like, I mean, it was just the families. It wasn't nobody that's just like family a randomly, thing. Random street people. So, I mean, regardless, Jade, if it's the people in your household, you're gonna be around them anyway.
I'm really thankful courtside Karen wasn't there though.
Nah,
man, she was electric. I wish
there.
She came back.
She wasn't getting there, man.
Here I am again.
It would have been a great experience though. I'm not gonna lie. So Dave, can we break down the different competitions?
I mean, are you seriously? Which
yeah,
ones
you? You had an interesting take about.
Oh, you
the
mean
skills
Domantas comp. Sabonis winning the skills competition despite the fact that he only has a left hand? I mean, you know, it is what it is. We're not calling travels out there either.
So do you think? Yeah, you definitely don't call it travel.
Yeah.
But do you think? I mean, because it's the push dribble too, bro. You're supposed to do a push dribble. That's the cheat code.
Yeah.
Do you think they should switch, make the winner of the round switch sides?
No, I just think they should do fun stuff. I mean, whatever this skills competition is not very fun. I'd love to see them do like a real horse where guys actually took some risks.
First of all, horse wasn't really good.
I'll be honest with you. I'd rather see these guys play a softball game than a basketball game. Because that's what we watched is not worth showing up for. That
you're going cornhole. Who's up for cornhole? Can we just get cornhole out there?
You're going away from
three on
you,
three.
You're turning this into
dude,
a
and, yeah, 3-on-3 would be really cool.
Three
even
on
if it was like
one on one would be
listen,
one on one
you guys,
would be the best.
You guys are turning this into a vacation.
No, I'm just saying
like I do like to replace skills with King of the Court.
The whole thing is
King of the Court would be great.
The dunk. This is one of the worst.
Stupid.
Look. Magic Johnson loves the dunk contest as much. The only thing he loves more is being able to tweet random stuff on Twitter. And this year, you know what he said? To be honest, this wasn't the most exciting slam dunk competition I've ever seen. That is devastating to the NBA, right? That is an excoriation of the league. And as far as I'm concerned, it's time to bring back the team dunk competition. They've got to do something to fix the dunk contest.
On,
it's
man.
Awful.
Okay. Nah, stop the sack attack now.
Your
wallet.
Your country can do for you.
Listen, guys, I can't even pretend like I care about the dunk contest. Like, it's just impossible. We've seen all the dunks, and it's no offense to these guys, but like Cassius Stanley does the East Bay Funk dunk right off the bat, and I just do not care. You know why? Because I saw J.R. Ryder do that. So
okay,
I cannot
hold on,
care.
Hold my beer. Hold my beer, because I got a problem with that.
Okay.
First of all, kid from L.A. gets robbed by some haters.
Robbed, Trey.
By
go.
Some haters. Them old dudes need to stop hating. That dunk should have been a 50. As soon as they gave him that wax score, they threw off his whole entire momentum.
I think I gave him a six.
Obi Toppin shouldn't have been in the finals. You know what I'm saying? He ain't do nothing too crazy after that. And listen, I got a problem with that because they just messed it up. D-Wade messed it up last year. And then you got hating-ass Dominique Wilkins out here who did the same dunk when he won 7 times, bro. I don't want to hear that. Michael Jordan and them would do that free throw line every day. Dr. J do the same dunk. Bro, these kids is creative. They jumping out the gym. Let them dunk.
But this
and
is
already was forced.
See, but this is my
point. I gotta stand up for the dunk contest.
The dunk
Dave has gone too far. Dave has gone too far. I think this was
shocking.
This was
that's
not a great dunk contest. But when you watched Anthony Simons, especially in slow motion, those dunks were special. He's 6'3". He had his head at the rim, eye level.
Keyword though, slow motion.
Yeah, it didn't look as impressive in
everything
full
everything looks
speed.
Better in slow motion. Literally,
agreed,
me getting out of bed.
Shouts to Dave
me getting out of bed.
But
that's not true, Jade, because I've seen videos of me running in slow motion, and it doesn't look better when I run in slow motion.
Like, jiggling.
But no, the thing with the Vince Carter dunks, they're great in real time.
Right.
Yes. But here's the thing, though, and really, Dave, to just kind of go a little bit at your point, though, it's – the dunk contest is cyclical. Some years it's going to be good. Some years it's not going to be good. It's going to depend on who you have in it. This year, obviously, with just 3 guys and it really being a condensed nature, like the odds of it being good were pretty low. Like, they didn't have much of a chance. And not even having any of the big names in it in this scenario, like, I didn't have a lot of high hopes for it. Last year's dunk contest, even though Wade screwed up the voting, was still pretty exciting. It was fun to watch. Like, I'm not necessarily over the dunk contest. It was just like, this year was just kind of a, all right, well, this is what we're going to try to do in a pandemic.
It was a weak field, too, because even when you see lesser players do crazy dunks, there's not the excitement of if a superstar does that same dunk. Like when Vince Carter did it, part of it was that Vince did it.
Right.
And it was Vince and his aura. And every dunk was clean. Every dunk was perfect. But it was also that it was an all-star, superstar, big name doing it. When you see Cassius Stanley do a dunk, when you see Obi Toppin jump over his old man, who honestly looked like he might have been the best player out of all the dunkers, like, it's not as impressive. And they need the bigger names. Like, they need even Zion. If you had Zion in that dunk contest, the whole energy is different. It's just 100% different.
So, Jay, I don't really agree to an extent,
I do.
Right? Because I know personally what Cassius could do.
I don't think everybody does, and so there's not the excitement leading up to it. But
that's what I'm saying. He should have had that opportunity to prove that, and by getting that whack ass score, it eliminated it. Like, Cassius could do
a
what was his score?
Nobody knows who he is.
44,
he got a
44,
bro. On the first.
What Jay is saying is just simple common sense. Like, when I go to watch this, why am I
like,
not
Jay,
seeing
this dude? This kid could go between his legs twice, bro.
That's cool.
Yeah, but
I love that.
But Blake,
give me something that my kid would be like, "Yo, that's blank."
I'm just saying, if you kill my momentum, I'm not gonna have no other dunk to do, man.
But Trey, like, here's the thing. None of the names there was going to bring anybody to the table to go watch
the
dunk contest.
I mean, to be honest,
right?
if you got a shoe in, if you're just trying to make this event happen, you got to take it.
Right. Well, I mean, Trey, to your point,
it's the young
blood. Your point, nobody knew Zach LaVine and Eric Gordon when they
basically
pulled that thing off.
Oh, no. They had been dunking in games, though.
Nah, Zach LaVine wasn't dunking like that at UCLA. Don't do that. Don't do that, bro.
We saw him dunking
in
games.
Please don't.
I worked in the NBA, and I was like, who are these dudes? You know, that's my periphery distance.
But they weren't the only two in the contest.
But we also saw him dunking
games. Right? Like, they were.
Who else was there?
They brought in guys.
Who else was there, Mo?
And they're both lottery picks. They both have big reputations. Like, Simons plays a little. Cassius Stanley never
you
played.
You throw LaMelo really in this. That, like, James White didn't exist?
Yo,
come on,
Luka,
quit playing,
bro.
Bro, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Y'all going to get me
Where's
hot.
Luka?
Don't do that. Don't do that. Y'all trying to whitewash the dunk contest. Don't do that, bro.
Trey.
I love how James White came up. James White was an incredible dunker. I'm with you.
Trey, it's just simple. Like, just, you know, everybody would admit, though, like, the names have not been there. Right.
For sure. This is the thing.
That's all,
like,
we're saying. I think.
Here's the thing, right?
No, I'm actually saying.
I talked to Zach. No,
the
here's the thing.
Dunks are bad.
I talked to Zach LaVine's agent, right? And I said, is Zach Duncan, now that he's an all-star? He says, no, he's going to be in a three-point contest. I threw a fit. I'm like, why not? He says, oh, well, I believe that he can win the three-point contest. That's cool, but the people want to see him dunk. We don't care about the threes. You feel me? So to see, like, Zion not being.
Here's the thing.
Is Zion going to take the LeBron route and never be in it?
I think the thing is that they make so much money from the dunk contest, and the guy that's doing it doesn't see any of it.
How do they make money on it? I still can't understand.
It's
but it's
the
boring.
Moment.
There's no one trying to stop them.
I mean, they make money off the sponsorships, though,
that's
Dave.
That's what the
and
paradox
the stuff
is.
They run.
The
so if it's sponsored by Mountain
really
Dew,
matter.
They're going to run about 10 Mountain Dew commercials before
that's
we
right.
start.
That's what I mean. That's
15
that's
minutes between dunks.
The actual time slot in saying it's the dunk contest outweighs the fact of the content of it, right? That's what's fucked up. And so from a player standpoint, you could be like, no, I'm good.
And you know? Also, I think the pendulum has swung to where players reach a certain level and they think they're too good for the dunk contest. Whereas in the old days, it would be like Mike and Neek. And,
well, it was a knock.
Kobe and T.
It was something that you wanted to have under your achievements. Like,
hey, I won
the dunk
the
contest.
Way.
And now you look at guys like Blake Griffin, right? And you think about Blake Griffin, you say, Blake. Oh, remember when Blake came in, they were comparing us to Sean Kemp. Like, all he does is dunk. You know, he didn't want to be known as that. Every right. player that has won the dunk contest or has been associated with dunking tries to pivot away from it so quickly and say that, hey, I'm a complete basketball player. Like, even after Anthony Simons won, they were saying, well, now that I know he can jump like that, he needs to get one dunk a game. That kid ain't trying to play like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's the outside noise though. Like that, I understand it, Trey. I was there. I was around Blake. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about, and him trying to avoid that label and that kind of being the outside noise. But in terms of just making the dunk contest cool, though, Blake did compete in the dunk contest. You know, we go down the row of history. A bunch of guys who have always constantly competed in it. They did it. They were part of it, you know? And I think that's just kind of the thing. I know what you're saying, and I think that's silly for anybody going like, yo, Simons has to get a dunk every game now. Like, get the hell out of here, guys. That's not – a dunk contest has nothing to do with how the NBA game is actually played, and he's got to do what's right for the team. But in terms of just for excitement and for making the dunk contest more interesting, they got to just get – at least a couple names in there. Like, I want to see Cassius Stanley in the next dunk contest.
And they got to pay.
But I want to see a couple other guys in there and make this thing a little more interesting. Like, I'd love to see Zion get in there.
I think that they should eight dudes again, have four of them big names, four of them high flyers, and just have more attempts for guys to get creative and guys to come back from one missed dunk. Because one missed dunk or one bad dunk can kill you. Like Cassius Stanley, I think he was honestly the best dunker in that group. But after he got a 44 and got robbed and got a 44,
Say it again, Jay.
He had to try to do some bullshit to try to get into the final round and surpass the first two guys. So I think that really hurt him. You know, on the other hand, the talk about Simons not dunking, I kind of agree with that. That dude can absolutely fly, and he's had two dunks all season.
Well, Cash has never had a dunk in his career, which is hilarious.
Yeah, but
he had a three-pointer, and he had a layup. But I understand he's playing an Indy, and like, he's probably not going to get off the pine like that. But
he barely plays. And I think
I'm a homer. Listen, I'm a homer, and I know this kid has been dunking since like seventh grade. And he's been a YouTube sensation for so long. It's almost like how everybody used to be on Seventh Woods, right? It was like, yo, he can jump or blah, blah, blah. Or the same thing as Zion. Like, you want to see these guys show out on a big stage. You think, like, their whole life, they're going to go into the dunk contest and they're going to do something we've never seen before. And I do believe that we've seen most of the dunks that are possible for a human.
I love that idea.
There, to me, there really are a couple ways you can
fix
it.
We've seen every possible dunk of dunking.
It's like figure skating or gymnastics, right? Like, my natural inclination is to say, let's go American Gladiators with this thing. Let's get guys shooting tennis balls at these guys when they're going to dunk. But I think that the logical step here is that you know what's coming. And it's about the technical aspects of it, right? So that way, when you actually have someone judging them on a 1 to 10 scale, it's not just necessarily how you feel about it. Because then you don't get this instance where people think a guy got snubbed on a dunk. Which, you know, I disagree with. Because I think that first dunk from Cassius Stanley wasn't that good compared to what we've seen before. I just think it's not new. It's a great dunk. 20 years ago, that's a fantastic dunk. It's
Dave,
a 50.
But you're comparing it to
2021.
You're not comparing it to the current competition. But you're not comparing it to the competition that's going on.
Do something better. He was the first dunk. How the hell can I compare him to anything, Mo?
It was okay, the dunk.
No, you just judge that contest. You don't go looking at it going like, well, how does that compare to Michael Jordan?
Right, that dunk didn't make me go, whoa, wow, that's amazing.
Very forgettable.
Yeah. So I'm fine
with
this.
But did Obi top it?
It's still better than a 44.
No, that one sucked too.
The Obi top. I just watched this dunk in slow motion, bro. And I know Jay just was hating on slow motion. This kid is moving forward while going between his legs.
Trey.
Not a pause, not anything else. He's moving to the direction of the court. And he's at eye level with the rim.
Here's the problem, bro. It's not Vince Carter.
Right. None of these guys have any star power whatsoever.
Like, there's so much to it. If you watch Vince Carter, it's not only the dunk. It's all the stuff before. Like, how many times have we seen the it's over?
Yeah.
Like, he added that as content.
I mean, I didn't see any of these guys wipe their shoes before they took off or anything. There was no showmanship.
Look, can we move on? Because we never get no answers with this.
No to all dunkers, by the way. No to all dunkers. Just do a dribble before you start. Just don't start running with the ball. It's hokey.
I've said this for years. They got to throw Aaron Baines out there and just have guys dunk on him.
Way better. That's way better. Right?
Like, that would be such a better competition to just have guys trying to dunk on him.
Now you're thinking.
We could even throw out Yuta Watanabe now after what happened to him.
Yeah, but exactly.
He could be an all-star for that.
At the end of the
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Wait, Trey, hold it just for one second. What we're looking at the end of the day is simply creatives and corporations being making content for the sake of money. That's all it is. No, there's no creativity whatsoever. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So what is the breaking news?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Paul George says, after seeing Damian Lillard and Steph Curry show off their deep range from near half court, that critics were right to get on him for calling Dame's shot in the playoffs against him and OKC a bad shot. He says he's been proven wrong, and that's a great shot.
That's what it took. It took him this long?
It took for All-Star to say, you know what? Hey, out of all the games, out of all the highlights, All-Star is the final line where I draw the line and say, you know what? Those dudes can shoot. All-Star, the place where you're just supposed to playfully play around.
Just why? Why would you say that? Why? I see that quote and I just go, what are you doing? Why are you making this a story? Why are we still talking about this?
Was there anything from the game for you guys that stood out?
Yes. Steph Curry yelling for Damian Lillard to box out, because we all know if I need a textbook example of a box out, it's Stephen Curry.
Like, whoa, hold on. Steph is a pretty good rebounder, though. Good body position, man. I'm okay with that.
He ain't boxing nobody out.
Steph and LeBron playing on the team for the first time together. Giannis not missing a shot. Steph being ridiculous, per usual, straight alien. In year 12, 13, whatever he's in. Damian Lillard ending on Dame time, which is kind of crazy.
Ending on Dave time, because I was begging for him to hit those shots. Like, it was just brutal. He put us out of our misery.
For sure. For sure. Nah, he helped, and they got the victory by 20 points. But Zion stinking it up early. You know,
he missed so many dunks.
Oh.
It was a nerve.
It was nerves, but still, just the fact that, like, the lob from Kyrie off the glass, like, that's an easy, like, I think he does that in his sleep. But I don't know. I've never been in a position to be in an All-Star game, so I'm trying to sympathize with it, but I don't know.
What stood out to me, probably more than anything else, and this is weird, but LeBron sitting out the second half. And I feel like over the last however many years, he's kind of set the tone for the level of competitiveness in the All-Star game. When he ratchets it up, everybody does. When he takes it easy, everybody does. And he talked leading up to the All-Star break about how he was going to be there basically in name only. at the game and how he didn't think they should even be having the game. And then he sat out the second half. He didn't care in the first half.
My hot take was that he boycotted the second half.
So, Jay, this is news because I honestly tuned out. He sat out the whole second half?
Yeah, he didn't play. He was eating snacks on the bench.
Wow, that's like the lead. We buried the lead.
Yeah, he ended up going into some low top sneakers and just
that's interesting.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like it's been done. You know, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano, and we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
But yeah. I mean, again, I feel it goes right back to what we're saying, or what I was saying earlier with the dunk contest. This is such a money-making grab for TV in the league. And I guess, you know, the players ultimately get the split on this, but does it really make sense to their workload for what they're doing with that kind of money? You know what I'm saying?
Probably. It's, I mean, just from a financial standpoint, for the players, for sure.
In the long run, it does. For going into the BRI and everything that goes along with it, it makes sense. Because let's be honest, if it didn't make sense, the players' union never would have actually agreed to it. Right. Like they understood the financial aspect of it, how they benefit. I'm with you though. Like,
but he's pushing back.
Those guys got to care. He's obviously pushing back. And that was the difference.
LeBron's always
right. And
like,
I think that was the thing.
Yeah. That's good.
That was the thing.
That's good that he's doing
leading up to this, the excitement just wasn't there the whole way leading up to this. I mean, every time somebody asked, you know, what do you think of the All-Star game? It was very much of like, look, I'll be there, but like, I won't be there, you know, kind of thing. And he kind of showed that by not playing in the second half a little bit. And, you know, the game suffered in that sense. I also don't think, you know, if KD's playing, he probably
plays. Also did a terrible job of drafting KD. He had by far the worst team.
Oh my God.
Well, KD knew he wasn't going to be there.
What a shit show this was. Holy cow. Wow.
You know, and you always got to draft your teammates. We got to stop normalizing this. Teammates have got to chill out. Like if your guy is the captain of the team, don't get offended if he doesn't pick you first or right away. You can relax.
Honestly,
it's okay.
Though, they should just be picking this right before they play. Let's just get rid of that extra TV show that they want to have. Pick it on the court.
It's money, Dave.
Don't give us 17 songs before.
That's an extra ad gambling. So.
It's the gambling, D. I know. DB.
Oh, the
gotta have those lines out for a little. Okay. You know,
okay, but let's make it a little more fun. Let's give a prize or you know, for the last person picked or whatever. You guys saw the NHL one when they did it a while back and Ovechkin was like promoting to be the last person picked. Like, let's make it a fun thing. Let's kind of have something a little bit fun with being the last name picked or something like that.
To the way we all grew up playing basketball.
I agree with LeBron though, bro.
I don't care.
I agree with LeBron though. Ain't nobody picking no Jazz players, bro, in the video game. I wasn't even picking no Cavs players either, though. So Mark Price and Brad Doherty weren't getting picked on my game.
Trey, but you were picking it when LeBron was there.
You said what?
I got to admit, it legit. I've never played with Karl Malone or John Stockton in a video game.
I think the only exception is NBA Jam.
But I never even used them in that.
Nah, see, I use them.
I was a Bulls fan. I hated those guys.
No, I'm saying I use them in jam, but any other game on a 5-on-5, I cannot get jiggy with the Jazz.
Place, it's a disgrace, and I think they ought to apologize to start with. Michael Kong.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know you know. I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit, gotta get jiggy with it. That's it, now honey, honey, come ride.
I mean, K-N-Y,
all up in my eyes. You got a rider, bag with a lot of stuff in it.
Can you see your friend that's
lit? Everybody looking at me, glancing at
the kid. A lot of guys are able to do things that we're not able to do. And, you know, all guys are not able to get some calls that everybody else in the fucking league gets. So, you know, we know that we're the Utah Jazz, and we, you know, maybe some people don't want to see us, you know, go as far. I believe that.
I can't. I'm not even going to lie to you, bro. And, like, it's sad because I think Donovan Mitchell's a good kid. Rudy Gobert... very good player. I know you guys analytically wise would push for him, but just aesthetic pleasing. Nah, because like he was getting killed for his dunks today. Like they're like, oh, he dunked like a Mormon. I was like, what does that mean? Like that is like y'all just lazy and bored on the jokes at this point. Like y'all just say you hate the guy. And like I really think that he's a very good basketball player on a defensive end, but it's not fun in the All-Star game. I think the All-Star game should be full of guards and skilled players. It should be for skilled players only.
Well, see, now this is the thing, right? Like, now you're splitting hairs about who's skilled or not. Like, I even said no centers. And really what I meant was no Rudy Gobert. Like, let's be honest. Because I want Jokic out there. I want Embiid if he's healthy.
Utah fans, well, please see, send say, all complaints.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't even mean it.
That's what I'm saying, Dave. I didn't say no resident centers. I said no skill, only right. skilled players.
I'm the resident Gobert defender on this podcast. Jay King, I think, would be my vice president. But I do not want to see him in an All-Star game. You know what would have been fun, though, is if he had played like he was Zach Harper. Three-point line to three-point line. And just
When I seen that he was an All-Star, I did the Jerry Seinfeld gif where he like fans and walks up out of the theater. That was me. Like, ugh. Like I was so disgusted, man. Like, ugh. And then we get three Jazz out of it and Quinn Snyder.
Were you ever like at a moment like, oh, this is cool?
Never. I've never seen that. Not once. Not once. I've never felt that way. You know what I'm saying?
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know you know. I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit, gotta get jiggy with it. That's it, now honey, honey, come ride. DKNY, all up in my eyes. You got a Prada bag with a lot of.
The whole night was just cringeworthy. How did NBA Twitter take it?
First of all, NBA Twitter just hated it every second that he scored. And it was like, I feel bad because I'm like, how did Donovan Mitchell get looped into this? Like, and that's the thing, because they're looping. I don't think it's fair to you to like the Jazz are playing exceptional basketball, but to loop to compare him to being corny, that's not fair. You can't just,
you know what it is though, Jade. I think I think it was them complaining after the Sixers.
So
game.
The comment, the funny thing about someone asked Donovan Mitchell, "How did you feel about being picked last?" And he's just like, I don't care what anybody thinks, you know, and when he does that sassy stuff and then going off on the refs, that was probably the worst thing ever for them, because it was like, y'all in first place, y'all whining, nobody likes y'all. Like
my favorite part of it was that LeBron did it, because LeBron and the Lakers could meet the Jazz deep in the playoffs, and he's sitting there, picks them last. And then goes out and says, "You know what? Nobody would ever play with your franchise, even in a video game."
Can someone catch me up? It's going to be a great story. What this is, the complaining?
Oh yeah. So after the game, their game against the 76ers shortly before the All-Star break, they thought they were getting the short end of some foul calls and started complaining about how, because they're in a small market, they get no respect.
This was the night that they were getting clowned on Twitter.
Gobert. Yes, and they were Zach getting very out clowned on Twitter.
When Zach was out of the off the Jazz boat. Okay. So they complained. So they did the Daryl Morey thing, essentially.
I mean, this is the thing. You can't complain if you're – I would understand if they're like the worst team in the league and they're just getting kicked, right? But they're number one in the West. Number one best record basically in the league. Right. And you can't win them all. And it's kind of one of them situations of like the new guy here. No, but I'm just saying the new guy here, right? It's not like you've been here before. Being the new guy and also complaining as the new guy,
exactly.
It don't work. It don't work. Like you're winning, you're the darling, everybody's saying you're hot, and then you go get cracked. They got cracked the other night. They got cracked by who was that that laid them down?
Philly.
Yeah,
at the end of the game.
And it was an enjoyable. Yeah. Listen, people don't even like the Sixers, and that was an enjoyable win for the Sixers.
I've never seen Zach make a hard turn like that. That tells me everything I needed to know.
They went really, really hard complaining about the refs after building up a lot of goodwill over the last month because they really have been playing just incredible basketball. But they also invoked the small market thing with the referees, right? Like they went ultra small market energy on this ref rant that they had. And I mean, there's very few things that will turn people off. I mean, if Damian Lillard comes out and starts talking about how because he plays in Portland, he can't get a good whistle. How do we all feel about that? Probably not great. And now
I feel like Dame has more built up respect.
Well, absolutely. Though. This is what I was going to say is now you're Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert who, you know, already people kind of make fun of you. Donovan Mitchell with the whole rookie thing with Ben Simmons, Gobert for numerous reasons. And now you're just adding more fuel to that. And so, you know, I agreed with all the people that called them whiners about it. I didn't think that the whistles were egregious. The last 2-minute report kind of backed that up. Did they miss a couple calls? Yeah, absolutely. But when you look over the whole season, it's not been that bad. It's definitely nothing to whine like that about.
I don't want to hear none of that no more, bro.
If they played well, I would understand it. Yeah, but they sucked.
This is the thing.
They're one in the West. They got three all-stars in the game. I don't want to ever hear anything about the Jazz this season. They got three all-stars in the game, and they're one in the West.
I know.
My favorite thing is everybody thinks, like, okay, they just need to go be mean now. These guys need to go. Can you picture Mike Conley being mean? I feel like we saw it when Donovan Mitchell, when he was getting ejected and he was pissed off and he hits the Gatorade jug and it goes near a staff worker. And instead of just continuing to storm off and pretending to be upset and being the bad guy now, he immediately goes to, oh my God, I'm sorry. My bad. I didn't mean to. My bad. Like these guys aren't, this is just not who they are. And I feel like them doing this whole whining thing is just
post rolled out. And they said, are the Jazz the villains of the NBA?
They're not even capable of it. They're not even capable.
I love watching Quinn Snyder drop a play. I do.
I loved him in Spider-Man also. As the Green Goblin. But hey, I don't know what else to say, man. The real villains are the Brooklyn Nets. Let's just be honest.
Wait, are you telling me that is that true? They're trying to make the Jazz villains? I mean, really?
Yes. Wow. Yes. It sucks, man. Wow. I hate it here.
It's really funny, too, because I feel like the Jazz had like a week or two where they were like the darlings of the NBA.
They were,
and everyone had caught on to the beautiful basketball they were playing. Everyone was hyping them up, talking about how they were contenders. I got miles of shit because I compared them to a great team on this podcast, and I wasn't hyping them up enough. And now, 2 weeks later, everyone's off the Jazz train because
I mean, I'm not off the Jazz train. I just think like this. It was just stupid.
Again, Utah Jazz fans think that we hate their team or this is an anti-Jazz podcast. First of all, Jazz are very good. We would wish that they stop crying, stop complaining, and just play basketball. You're the number one team in the West. Bro. You had three All-Stars. You had a coach that coached in the All-Star game. Prove it in the playoffs or be quiet.
Seriously.
They're fun as hell to watch, though. We could talk about this all we want, but they are fun as hell to watch.
Yeah, they are.
You know,
so stop complaining
in March, which should be February, I think. Maybe January.
Yeah. I mean, look, you better hope you're getting calls come, you know, April, May, not right now in a random
June,
game.
July.
It was weird. And again, they didn't even play a bad game. Their legs just wore off at the end of that game. They were exhausted. And they're one of the few teams they've just been incredibly healthy. So aside from Mike Conley missing like five or six games, everyone's been out there playing this condensed schedule. Completely reasonable for them to be tired at the end of a four-game trip, looking ahead to the All-Star break. But this whole, you know, oh man, the refs have it out for us because we're in Utah. Nah, man, I don't think that's the case.
So here's my hot take. Jordan Clarkson would have got picked by LeBron or KD.
Probably true.
The two other dudes just ain't got no swag. That was it. They get picked up off their swag. Jordan Clarkson would have got picked up by LeBron or KD for sure. He wouldn't have went last.
I don't think I can argue against that. I think you might be right.
Jay.
Yes.
Did you have a good moments in the game for you?
Yeah, I love the 3-point shooting. Steph and Dame going at it was just, it's crazy to watch just where they pull up from and how easily they do it. And you see them do it.
I love that ending. That was a cool ending because, you know, Steph kind of brought the logo into reality and Dame kind of like shut the lid on it in a sense, right?
Yep.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I will say this. This is the first time and Dave's going to laugh. This is the first time I can agree with Dave. The Elam ending saved us because it was such a terrible game. It ended the game. But I also think all the credit that we gave the Elam ending last year for making the All-Star game so great didn't happen this time.
No.
I think we got proof in the pudding that it's
not. This is a little bit okay. So that's you're okay, taking though. A little secret shot at the Elam ending here, Mo. And
No. I'm taking a wide open shot. My disdain for the Elam ending has been clear all year.
I will tell you that the Elam ending it definitely made the ending of the All-Star game last year better, I thought. But that game was going to be special no matter what, right? The Kobe.
No, last year it was the Elam ending made this game.
Ending was a good way to end it, and the Elam ending was a great way to end this game because, as you mentioned, it saved us from having to go however long.
They were so close together.
I think
I think no matter what ending, this year was doomed. I think players are fed up with basically playing three seasons rolled into one with no real offseason for the teams that went deep into last year's playoffs. They've been going nonstop since like September 2019. And obviously they had the hiatus, but they had to stay in shape because they didn't know when they were coming back. And obviously they had a brief offseason, but it was very, very brief. And I think players are fed up with how many games they've played. I think they're fed up with being away from their families like they have and having restricted rules. Yeah. And I think they were fed up with playing in an All-Star game this year of all years. And I think that there's a little irritation and maybe a lot of irritation among the players about how the last 3 years have gone, or 2 years have gone, two seasons. And I think like we could see that the most with LeBron in the All-Star game before the All-Star game. And so I don't think that we were ever going to get a competitive All-Star game no matter what.
No. By the way, I want to circle back on the money thing, right? You say the money thing, but in actuality, you know, there's a lot of people that work at TNT that are just normal everyday people, cameramen, people that do the ops, you know, back at the studios. So there's a ton of people that rely on the money, and the way that sports industry works, you collect so much money at certain intervals. So when I was at ESPN, for instance, you would get sponsorship only on the beginning of the season, Christmas Day, All-Star, and playoffs. And so it just shows you that how more important this actual event, this single one nationally, is to the whole, you know, to the whole structure of it. So it's good that the players did it in a sense, because if they don't, it's a real punch in the gut to a lot of just everyday people.
Yeah, it's a good point, because it's very easy for us to just forget that there is this whole infrastructure and ecosystem that actually said,
let Maverick Carter produce this shit, man. That's all, okay, man. But some fucking heads in there, man.
As we wrap up here, guys, news from our Shams Charania that Blake Griffin is going to sign with the Brooklyn Nets on a veteran minimum deal. Let's just kind of go around the horn real quick. Does this make any difference whatsoever, Mo?
Absolutely not. Like he's not going to do much unless they have the Fountain of Youth over.
Yeah, I just don't get. I mean, I guess it's another playmaker you can bring off the bench as a small ball five.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan with this second unit as a small ball five. This team is good enough for him to just kind of hide out and get healthy. And they don't need a high demand. Like James Harden made some comments today in the All-Star game saying that they don't expect Blake to be a high flyer or anything like that, but he still can spread the floor and shoot the three ball. And then he also still has developed some type of skill to handle the ball and distribute. I mean, again, they don't need him to turn water into wine. They just need a body. And, you know, if he's not even – he can be sixth option at this point because Claxton and Brown are playing exceptionally well. And I'm just glad that Steve Nash is not going to force this guy into the lineup.
Well, see,
and
that's
he'll
the question.
Just work his way there.
See, that's the question, though. And Jay, you
– It's
you
just
know,
more
you
depth,
about
though.
This,
I mean,
right?
It's depth that they didn't have. I mean, they were giving guys 10-day contracts.
It's a guy that's not going to but Trey, it's a guy to me that's not going to make a difference. Like, he's not going to play much. You talk about him spreading the floor. He's a career 33% shooter. I'm just telling you right now, as a guy who's had to do scouting reports, we're going to say, leave Blake. If he beats us, he beats us. We're not going to be concerned about his shooting. Like, it's
but that's
not
the thing.
A guy.
I don't think he shoots. I think that he's just there.
What's he doing?
Just like,
see, I think I wanted him to go to Golden State because I thought with the amount of attention that Steph gets, Blake's passing could have actually opened things up for them when Draymond's
so
on the
bench. So that's the thing with the Brooklyn Nets. Like, at the end of the day, he doesn't have to do too much. Like, just dunk the ball, bro, from time to time. Finish at the rim.
When was the last time he dunked? 2 years ago?
Come on, man.
No, forget about it.
We're not
going to
do that, bro. We're not
going to
do that.
Trey, no. Forget about it. Forget about all that, Trey. The idea, though, is like, with Golden State, the reason why it would work is because Curry's not on the ball, right? Like, he's able to run off screens, and in that situation, that's where Blake can find him. Those guys aren't going to be running off screens. It's going to be kicking out to Blake, and nobody's going to be worried about him shooting. He can have all the corner threes he wants.
Teams
are going to be okay with
that. You're not rolling with the pick and roll with Harden and Griffin and then finding Joe Harris.
Dude, I'm leaving Blake. I'm not even worried. Let Blake pop. He's not going to roll to the rim.
I understand past relationships, but I ain't rolling. We're going to meet in April, May, and I want
you
to apologize.
And he's not going to play. He's going to be like 8 minutes a game.
I'm saying he might not even play.
I think the other part of this, too, is Brooklyn doesn't need any more offense.
Right.
And him being a defensive liability at this stage of his career is going to matter more in that situation because he will be the fourth or fifth best offensive player. And there are not other defenders to cover for him and his lack of mobility at this stage of his career. He's never been a great defender, even when he could fly. And so I'm very skeptical that he will help at all. I thought there were other places where he could be better, Portland, Golden State, where maybe he could make a difference. I don't expect him to do anything for Brooklyn.
Yeah,
Kyrie insurance.
But I hope I'm wrong because
still got two more spots. Let's go, Trey Spencer Dinwiddie for PJ Tucker, baby.
He's there.
Feel me?
He's there for the good
you
vibes.
You feel me?
He's there for the good
All
vibes.
All I'm saying is, Mo Dakhil, you my man, but please holler at me in May.
Oh, no. And vice versa, Trey.
Oh, no. I'll make it public. I apologize publicly because when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Like Dave Dufour said that the Knicks were fun, and I told him he was crazy. He was right. The Knicks are fun.
I like Mo being a Nets truther, though.
They can still win the championship. I just don't think he's going to make a difference. He's not going to move the needle.
Yeah, it's more of a Blake
truther. I'd rather get Steve Nash out there.
I still like that my take wasn't crazy as him as a six option. Like, I'm not saying that he's just going to come in and just shake shit up. Like, you know what I mean?
Nobody is expecting that. Nobody was thinking that. But I even think as that, that's
a stretch.
That's wishful thinking. Yeah.
That's crazy. You just shot my man.
Dude, have
just
you called seen
my
him
man
play?
Dead wood. Yeah. Listen, he's basically Kaiser Sose, bro. I'm telling you.
They paid him $63 million right to now, not play
that,
for him.
That gimp going to be fixed.
Ooh, Trey, I'm sorry, man.
We're going to circle back to this.
They got the Fountain of Youth. You might know because you're in New York. You might know if they got the Fountain of Youth in Brooklyn.
I'm just telling you, bro. The gimp going to be fixed. He's Kaiser Sose, bro. That leg going to straighten up. soon as he put them black jerseys on.
I look forward to hearing from you in May.
All right.
That's going to do it for the basketball.
The listeners, y'all hear that.
For Mo, for Trey, for Jay, and for Jade. Jade, it was fun.
$63 million.
Fun time. $63 million to not play, Jade. I'll take that. If you want me to not pod.
That's a dream.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Find a way to make it happen, more. Jade.
I take $6,300
and pay me to stay home.
$3 million.
That's going to do it for today, for this week, and we'll be back after the All-Star break with more on the Athletic NBA Show.
Timing miscue there. He had athleticism, then he had skill. Yeah.